Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service. It's great to have everybody worshiping together. Hopefully, we're going to lose this rain eventually, right? Anybody else bailing water in their basement like I did this week when we had that torrential? Yeah, a few of us. Fun stuff. Anyway, we're glad that you're here. I think we had a little bit bigger crowd in the earlier service because I think people were trying to beat the rain, and it ended up just catching them here. But we are glad that you're here. If you didn't get something to eat on your way in and you want to, don't hesitate to run out there and grab a plate and come on in. You won't offend me whatsoever, but grab your notes. We're finishing up this series on Shape. We've been in it for the last 8 weeks, kind of a longer series than we normally do. We typically do series in about 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, something like that. But we've been talking about how God has shaped us to do different things for the kingdom, to serve Him and to serve others. And I want to start this morning by just asking a question. And the question is, have you ever heard someone described, you don't have to answer this out loud, but have you ever heard someone described as being really, really spiritually deep? Maybe if you've been around church long enough, you've heard somebody described that way, that they're just really, really deep in their faith. Or maybe another word that you've heard used is spiritually mature. They're just a really, really mature Christian, or they're really mature in their faith. Now, I think for some of us, maybe for a lot of us, when we hear that, it can be a little bit intimidating because, you know, we think about kind of where we are in our faith and maybe some of the struggles that we have with faith, maybe the fact that you know, we're trying to follow Jesus, but we've got some doubts or we've got some questions that we just haven't been able to get answers to, or maybe we just don't know that much about the Bible. And when I say, you know, this is the book of Leviticus, you're not sure if that's Old or New Testament, or this is the book of Philippians, and you're not sure where that's found in the Bible, and things like that. And we think to ourselves, you know, I'm not sure anybody would ever refer to me as being spiritually deep. I'm not sure anybody would ever call me mature as a Christian or as a follower. Well, this idea of spiritual depth, I think, is one of the most misunderstood ideas in the Christian faith. And so we talk about it a good bit around here. And Scripture actually talks a lot about spiritual depth, about going deep in your faith and being a mature follower of Jesus. But what it says about it, I think, might surprise some of you. I think it will likely disappoint some of you because some of you feel like you are spiritually deep and maybe you're not quite as spiritually deep or as mature as you think you are. And then others of you, as we look at this, it might excite you a little bit because you're going to realize, hey, I've got more spiritual depth than I thought I did. And so that might be affirming to you a little bit this morning. But here's what a lot of Christians, and I would even go so far as I would say most Christians, here's what most Christians, or a lot of Christians, I think of when they think of going deep in our faith, that it's all about acquiring more biblical knowledge. That the more biblical knowledge you have, the deeper you are spiritually. So, for example, if you can name all 66 books of the Bible, then you're deep, right? And if you can name them in order, then you're really deep. And then some of us are going, there's 66 books in the Bible? Okay, if you say so, right? Or if you can give the historical context for a passage of Scripture in the Bible, well, then that's deep, isn't it? Or if you've memorized a lot of verses and you can just quote them and rattle them off, and you don't even get the verse, but you also get the reference, you know, the book, chapter, and verse where it's found in the Bible. And this is the really, really deep one. If you do this, you're probably the deepest of all, right? If you know the Greek or you know the Hebrew word for the English word that's in the Bible, well, then that's really, really deep, right? And now, the Old Testament, the original language was in the Hebrew, and the original language of the New Testament was in the Greek. And occasionally, in a worship service like this, when I'm teaching, sometimes I'll talk about, you know, what's the Greek word here, and how does it fit in the context of this passage, or what's the Hebrew word here, and how does that fit in the context? And a lot of times, when I do that, people will come up to me and say, you know, David, we love it when you do that. We love it when you teach us the Greek. We love it when you go deep like that. Like the rest of the times I'm not going deep, I guess. I don't know. But we love it. That was so deep, and we love it. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. In fact, if you're eating or doing something right now, pay attention, because I don't want you to misquote me or walk out and think I said something I didn't. It's not that increasing our knowledge in Scripture is unimportant. It's very important to increase our knowledge of Scripture. If you're a follower of Jesus, then that means that Scripture should have some level of authority in your life. And so you need to understand it and you need to know it. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to understand the stories of Scripture and how they connect to each other and ultimately how they connect to the bigger story that God is teaching us and telling us throughout all of the Scripture. And it's very important, I think, to understand the context from which a particular Scripture comes from, because if we don't understand the context, then we end up taking it out of context and we end up losing its real meaning and its real application. In fact, a lot of horrible things have been done in the world and justified because someone took one verse or one part of a verse out of context and applied it in that situation to do some really, really horrible things. So all of that is important, but it's not what the writers of Scripture are talking about when they write about going deep in your faith. So what does it mean? What does it mean to go deep in your faith? I just want to give you a few things that I think it means. And the first thing is this, that it has to do with the vibrancy of your relationship with the God who created you. That it has to do with the vibrancy of the relationship that you have with the God who created you. That followers of Jesus who have a deep faith, who have a mature faith, are those that have a vibrant, passionate, ongoing, daily relationship with God. You know, there's a story in the New Testament where a Pharisee comes to Jesus, and Pharisees were the experts in the law in their day. They were the lawyers of the day. And this guy came to Jesus, and he had all of this scriptural knowledge because the Pharisees gave their entire life to understanding Scriptures. And so nobody understood the Scriptures like the Pharisees understood them. Nobody understood them certainly better than the Pharisees did. And this Pharisee came to Jesus, and he was kind of trying to trip Jesus up with his question, but he asked Jesus a really, really profound question. And he says, "Jesus, of all the laws," and he knew all of them, "but of all the laws, which one would you say is the most important thing to understand and to get? What would you say, Jesus, is so deep that if you understood it, it could actually lead someone to eternal life?" And here's the response that Jesus gave. And you've heard this before. We actually looked at it a couple of weeks ago. But Jesus replied and he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." And then he said, "And the second is like it." And I'll go deep here for just a second and tell you, in the Greek context, when he said, "And the second is like it," he doesn't mean "and the second is kind of similar to it." He's saying the second, you can't do the first if you're not doing the second. They're interconnected. They're inseparable. And so he says, "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." And then listen to how Jesus kind of wraps this up. He says, "All the law, all the stuff that you've memorized in your life, Pharisee, all the things that you know that the Scriptures say, and all the prophets, everything the prophets have told you, they all hang on these two commands. Everything you know about the law, everything that the prophets said, they hang on these two commandments." Jesus is saying what that means is to go deep in your faith is it means to love God and to love others. You love God and you love others. It means to be in this passionate, vibrant, ongoing relationship with the God who created you and to love the people who God put around you. Now, when we enter into that relationship, when we enter into a passionate, vibrant relationship with God, one of the things that I think changes profoundly in our lives is the way that we respond to the things that God calls us to do. And here's how John, who was a follower of Jesus, John who knew Jesus, John who was an eyewitness to the things that Jesus did and said, here's how John captured it in his gospel. He said, Jesus said, "If you love me," in other words, if you're in that passionate, vibrant, ongoing relationship with me, "if you love me, you will obey what I command you." If you're in a relationship with me, if you're a follower of mine, here's how you'll respond to what I call you to do and what I call you to be. You will obey that which I command you. See, spiritual depth is not about how much biblical knowledge you have. Spiritual depth is not about how much you know. Spiritual depth is about what you do and how you respond to what you know. People who are spiritually deep are people who are willing to say yes to God before they ever even know what the question is. And I want to take you to a place in Scripture this morning where Jesus has this incredible interaction with someone who was actually in desperate need of a vibrant, passionate relationship with God, with the God who created her. And it's a story that was, again, written by John in the Gospel of John. And again, John was one of Jesus' closest followers. He was with Jesus when a lot of this stuff happened. He was an eyewitness to what Jesus said. He heard the things that Jesus said and saw what he did. And in this story, it's about an encounter that Jesus has with this woman at a well. And the context of the story is that Jesus is with his disciples, and they've been traveling through this region called Samaria, and so they've been traveling all day, and they're hungry, and they're tired. And so the disciples, they leave Jesus at this well, and they go into town nearby to buy some food, and they're going to come back, and they're going to have lunch. And so Jesus is at this well, which is where people would come to gather, to get their water. It was also a social place where people would come and just talk about the latest news of the day and maybe gossip about some things that are going on and all of that stuff. So it was kind of a community hub. It was kind of the Starbucks of the day. It's where I would have hung out a lot, I guess. But they would either come there early in the morning when it was cool or come back later in the afternoon or evening when it was cool, not in the middle of the day. But this story takes place in the middle of the day, at the hottest part of the day. And so Jesus is there, and this lone woman comes to get water in the middle of the day all by herself. And the fact that she's there by herself, and the fact that she's there in the middle of the day, probably told Jesus a whole lot about her situation. And so as Jesus, he begins to talk to her, he finds out kind of why she's at the well all by herself in the middle of the day when no one else is around. And it's because this woman was profoundly broken as a person. And she's been married and divorced, John tells us, a bunch of times. In fact, he tells us 5 times to be exact. And now she's living with the guy. And if the truth be told, she's actually afraid probably to marry him because she's afraid that relationship's just going to turn out like the other 5 did in divorce. And so now she's living with this guy. And because of her situation and because of her past, she would have certainly been an outcast in her community. She would have been someone that people talked about behind her back. And so she comes to this well all by herself in the middle of the day, and Jesus begins to engage her in a conversation. And he begins to talk to her, and he begins to show her some love and some compassion. And he counsels her about her situation in life. And he speaks truth into her life, but he does it in such a way that she doesn't walk away feeling judged. She actually wants to hear more. And that encounter with her that she had with Jesus, it was absolutely transformational in her life. And John tells us that she leaves there, and she leaves that encounter with Jesus a different person, a changed person. It was just this really, really cool experience that Jesus had. Now, the disciples, again, they're away buying food, so they miss all of that. They didn't see any of that because they're out getting food. So they come back after this encounter, after Jesus had this conversation with this woman that literally changed the trajectory of her life, and they come back with all the food, all the groceries that they bought in town. And the first thing they say to Jesus, because he's been out there for a long time and he's hungry and they're hungry, and they say to him, "Jesus, what do you want to eat?" And Jesus' response to them is very, very interesting, and it gives us a little bit of perspective, and it gives us a little bit of answer about this idea of going deep in our faith. And when they say, "Jesus, what is it? What do you want to eat?" Here's how Jesus responded to them. He said, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Now, obviously, Jesus is not giving us a biblical principle that if you do God's will, that you will no longer need to eat physical food while you're here on earth, right? I mean, given the rise of food, cost of food around the world, that would be really cool, wouldn't it? It'd be great. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. This is a teachable moment for Jesus' disciples. And he wants to teach his disciples something in this moment, and this is what he wants to teach them. He wants to teach them that it's when we serve, it's when we do the will of God who created us. It's when we get in touch with God's purpose for our life. It's when we understand how God shaped us to serve him and to serve others, that it's when we're in the yes position to God as to what he wants to do in our lives and what he wants us to do with our lives, that it's when we serve that God spiritually feeds us. I mean, think about it this way. Jesus only had a little bit of time with this woman, maybe a couple of hours. with this broken woman who had gone through some incredibly difficult stuff, where he's just pouring into her life, where he's caring about her, he's listening to her, he's responding to her needs. And after that encounter, when the disciples come back, Jesus says to his disciples, basically, he's saying, guys, spiritually speaking, right now, after this encounter with this woman, after meeting her needs, after helping her with what was going on in her life, spiritually speaking, I'm stuffed. Spiritually speaking, I couldn't take another bite because I am filled. And that when I serve God, when I do the will of God, and when I speak into other people's lives and I serve them and I help them so that they can know who God is in their life, that fills me up spiritually. And that's what it means in part to go deep in our faith. It's loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And it's demonstrating and expressing that love for God outwardly by using what you have to serve other people, to meet real needs, to make the world or to make someone's world a better place. Now, some of you, when you hear that, you think, yep, that's right, because that's my experience. Because your story is the story of how when you started serving in some way to make the world or to make someone's world a better place, it changed who you were spiritually, and you began to see some significant spiritual growth. And you can look back and point to those times as time when maybe you saw the most spiritual growth in your life, when you were serving others in some way. And if you were to tell your story today, you'd say that it was when you started serving here, or maybe in another church, using that 10% that we talked about last week, that not only did it help you grow in your relationship with God, but it also changed the relationship you had with this community, that it deepened that relationship. And that's what I want for everyone here. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. And we want spiritual depth, and we want significant relationships. And I think that can only fully come through serving others and through serving alongside with others. So I want to introduce you to some opportunities that we've created here for people to serve. And it's not about, like I said last week, when we serve, it's not about getting stuff done so much as it's about connecting people with other people and doing something that's bigger than ourselves. And so I want to introduce you to just saying there's a form on your table that actually says, this is a form right at the top. You can't miss it. And I want to introduce you to some of these things. And some of the things I'm going to introduce you to, they're entry, what I call entry-level positions. There's not a lot of commitment to them. You can pretty jump in them pretty quickly, not a lot of learning curve or anything like that. Then there's some other areas that takes a little bit more commitment, maybe a little bit more time, maybe a little more time for you to get to know people and get plugged into it or to figure things out. But I just want to walk us through these things really, really quickly. And then we've got folks from each of these areas that are here ready to answer any of your questions at various tables. Some of the tables have some centerpieces, and so they're for these different ministries. You might be sitting at one of those tables this morning. You might not be, but first is our kids ministry. And there's some, yep, there's the table.
Sitting here by myself, but that's okay.
That's awesome. And that's because everybody else is out doing kids ministry, right? Upstairs and downstairs. But one of the greatest entry-level areas in our church and in kids ministry is just within our check-in. And our check-in station's right outside in the lobby. It's the computer kiosk there. Sometimes when we got a crowd coming in or a special event, we have the iPad out and we check people in that way too. So we're using technology to check kids in because we just want kids to be as safe as they possibly can be. And basically you check a kid in and it prints off a label that goes on the kid, and there's a label that goes on a diaper bag if they're a little kid, or a backpack if they brought something with them. And then parents get a sticker that they've got to turn in to get their kids. And sometimes parents conveniently lose those stickers thinking we'll just keep their kids for the rest of the day. They'll go shopping and stuff and then come back. So that's an entry level. And if you're interested in that, if you've seen it going on, you thought I could do that, or you know, I could check that out. Just see Marcia out at the kiosk this morning after the service, and she would love to talk to you about how you could plug into that. It's kind of a rotating schedule. You're not on every week. So you can serve as often as you're available to do that. And then some of our other areas, like up in our nursery, watching over the itty-bitties during services like this, small group leaders for our older kids and some of the other leaders that are there, well, they require us to get to know you a little bit more. And so we have an application that we do. We do an interview process. We do background checks on anybody who works with minors in our church. We do background checks on all of them and do an application process. So if you're a parent of a middle high school kid, you should be thankful that we do that. We want to make sure everybody is safe and the right people are serving in the right place when it comes to our kids and when it comes to our students. So if you're interested in that, Elise would love to talk to you more about kids ministry today. Properties. This is one that's got a lot of broad areas in it. It's a big piece of property. It's a pretty good sized building, and a lot of it needs to be maintained. And so we have people that are kind of hands-on, that love to fix things, repair things, or knows how to, you know, meet with contractors and get things done in the best way possible. So if you're interested in that, if that's you kind of handy and stuff like that, we'd love for you to engage with that team and plug in. And again, it's kind of serve at your own pace and when you have time. But then some new areas where we'd like to add in some people serving are in the next three. One is interior designer. So if you kind of have that kind of interior design or that real estate eye where you know when things look really nice and sharp and fresh, we would love to have someone plug in or several of you plug in for our space from worship lobby all the way up to kids ministry and student ministry. And how can we keep it, you know, constantly keep it freshened up and looking good, especially just to make a great first impression. And then safety inspection. The fire marshal comes by every now and then and takes a look at us, and he's pretty in depth. And so he doesn't like it when he comes in and he checks the exit lights and the backup batteries aren't working or the emergency lights, and he turns the power off and half of them don't come on and things like that. So we would love to have one or two or three people who would be willing just to, like, once a month come through our building and just check for those safety type things, just so, again, so that we can have a safe environment for everybody that's here, but especially for our kids and our students. And then the idea of fresh eyes. This is kind of a new idea we've been kicking around, but it's the idea of somebody being able to see some things that the rest of us, we just kind of tuned out and we don't see it anymore, but it's something that needs to be fixed or spruced up or moved or taken out of the way, and we just kind of trip over it. It's kind of like I used the example in the first service. I was in a conference one time where the conference leader was talking about this. They were doing these one-day conferences around the country, and he used the example of an ugly couch. And he said, lots of times when you're young and you're in college or you just get married and you're just really, really young, just straight out of college, you move into your first apartment, you know, and it's a cheap place and you don't have a lot of money and you're just starting out, and somebody gives you a hand-me-down couch, and it's an ugly couch. But you love that couch because it's your couch, right? And it's your property and it's the first thing you've ever had. And then you kind of move your way up and you move out of that apartment, get a bigger space, but the couch goes with you because you're connected to it now. And then eventually you're in this nice house, and somewhere in your house is that ugly couch, and you don't even see how ugly it is anymore because you've been looking at it for so, so long, right? And he said when they were setting up the conference, they would call the different churches they were doing these conferences in, and the churches would say, is there anything you need to do your conference other than, you know, microphones and things like that? And he said, the only thing we need is we need an ugly couch on the stage. Every church they called had an ugly couch in their building somewhere. They were in their youth room or kids room, something. They pulled it up and put it on stage. So we have, every church has ugly couches. Every church has things in their building, in their lobby, in their worship center, in their kids' space, student space, offices, wherever, that we don't see anymore. But it needs to be replaced, it needs to be updated, it needs to be changed, it needs to be freshened up. So if that's you, particularly if you're new here and you haven't been around long enough to kind of things just get, look at, and I see some of you starting to look around looking for the ugly couches already. Fresh eyes, we're looking for some fresh eyes. So if that's you, sign up for that. Hospitality. Hospitality is one of the most important areas of ministry that we do, because people are going to make up their mind when they visit here for the first time whether they're coming back in the first about 3 to 7 minutes is typically what people will make up their mind on. So hospitality is really, really important. Our greeters, a lot of you are here and you came back because somebody opened the door for you and said hello or helped you find the kids ministry check-in or get settled with some coffee or something like that. So we're always looking for greeters who who just want to, you know, smile and welcome people and ask, you know, what's your name? Is there anything you need? And that sort of a thing. Set up and clean up. Aren't you thankful for the people who set up food and coffee every Sunday morning? And did you know they're still hanging around here cleaning it up when a lot of us are already at lunch? So I am so thankful for that crew. They work behind the scenes. It's stuff that goes unseen, but it's so, so important to the environments we're creating here on Sunday mornings to make this comfortable and inviting to everyone. So we can always use lots of help there. That's an easy entry level place to plug into. And then kind of a new area where we've been kicking around for a long time and talked about this. We just need somebody to take it on and kind of build it up and lead it, is a parking lot greeter. We'd love to actually start greeting out on the sidewalk at the parking lot, because that's a long walk, right? And so especially a day like today, we'll equip you with golf umbrellas. You can walk kids in under the umbrella, keep people dry, make a great first impression. So if that's something you might want to take on, we would love to talk to you about that. Our prayer ministry, it's kind of a newer ministry that we launched a few months ago. And it kind of was birthed out of Wendy's vision for what we could do, particularly when we're doing special events and special ministries. And so we kind of started this with hypothermia response this past year. And what we did was we created a prayer group. It was a small group of folks who said, we're going to pray over this ministry while we're running it. We're going to pray for the volunteers and the leaders. We're going to pray for the guests. We're going to pray for the people who are working with our guests day in and day out. And so we looped them in on all the emails that went back and forth through that week, where our team was just sharing everything that was going on and saying, this guest is dealing with this, or this guest needs help with this, or, you know, we kind of had some problems and issues with this last night. And so they just covered all that stuff with prayer. And we saw God do some really, really neat things. And we actually had one of the calmest weeks of HRW that we've had in a long time, even though we were anticipating there being a whole lot more kind of chaos just because of some of the circumstances around it this year. So we would like to do that with all of our major events that we're doing. So we got sports camp coming up. We would love to have a group of people praying over sports camp as we head into that and as we go through that week, over our volunteers and leaders, our students, our adults, the kids that are going to be in it, families that are going to be showing up that maybe don't even have a church home. So if you're interested in helping us with that, that prayer table is right over here where Wendy is sitting. And then reaching out, kind of a broad category. One of the ways that we reach new people still, one of the most effective ways is with our banners. We've been doing that for years. Some of you are here because you drove by and you saw some crazy, wacky banner that made you look twice or read it twice. Did they really just say that? Kind of a thing, and you said, if I ever am looking for a church, I got to check that one out just because of their banners. And so we actually have people here because you said that or something similar to that. So Paul does a great job of rotating those banners out. We've got a schedule where we rotate them out regularly. He would love, I'm sure, to have some help doing that. A lot of times he's traveling for work and is out of town and can't get to it, or just he's busy with family. So the more people we have helping with that, the better. So if that's something you're hands-on with, we'd love to plug you into that. And then social media. We're doing a great job, I think, of figuring out social media, but there's a lot that we still have to figure out. If you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you should be helping us figure out how we can leverage social media as a resource for reaching the community, but also for communicating with each other about things that are going on and what we're doing here. So again, we'd love to plug you into that part of our reaching out ministries. And then photography and video, this kind of goes into social media as well and our website stuff. We're looking for folks who would be willing to take pictures and video of events, sports camp, hypothermia, although we can't take a lot of pictures of our guests and stuff. But as we're serving, as we're doing things, we'd love to have lots of pictures so that we can use that in our social media. And then video, one of the things we're aiming for 2019 is to actually start videotaping the messages on Sunday mornings and getting those uploaded online along with the audio. So we just want to step that up. So if you're kind of a techie and you understand that side of technology, we're going to be looking for help in purchasing the right equipment, setting that up and running it and doing all that. So reaching out is a great, great ministry. And then worship, we see worship happen every week, and some of the things in worship are obvious. You know, obviously we need people who can sing And so if that's you, have a conversation with Susan. We'd love to figure out how we can plug you into that. If you play an instrument, and what I said in the early service, I really should say is, if you used to play an instrument, we would love to have a conversation with you, because just about everybody up on our stage used to play an instrument, or lots of folks on our stage who play instruments used to play, and now they're playing them again. They dusted them off, they polished them up, they pulled them back out, and now they're putting them to use and using that ability that God gave them to serve through worship. Audio video technician at the back, those are the people who make sure you can hear and see, and we are thankful for them. That's a great entry-level position. We'll give you all the training you need to figure that out. Communion, setup, takedown, we need some more folks to help with that side of communion. We do communion every other month. And so if you're interested in helping us to kind of set up and take down, also if you're interested in helping to serve communion, we've got a list of people that we go to and just say who's available this Sunday to serve communion. We'd love to have you help with that. And then baptism, this is not asking you to sign up to be baptized, although that's always an option if that's something you need to do. But when we redesigned, if you haven't been here very long, back in the day before we renovated this space about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a fixed baptistry over here in the corner that stayed put. And so to have a baptism, all we had to do was fill it up and then pull the plug and drain it. It's pretty easy, but when we went to this space, we wanted to create multi-use space, and so we decided we're going to go with a portable so that it's not taking up space week after week that we can use for some other things along the way. So we're looking for a few folks who would like to learn how to assemble that. It takes about 45 minutes to an hour to put it together, and then about that much time to take it all down and pack it up. So if you're interested in finding out more about how you can help with that part of our baptismal ministry, we'd love to talk to you about that. And then senior craft ministry, that's Braddock Glen. You hear me talk about that a lot because we're there every month. In fact, we're going next week. Is it next week? I think it's coming up pretty quick. Next week, we'll be at Braddock Glen. Braddock Glen is a low-income senior adult living facility that's run by Ferrix County. And we've had a partnership with them for a long, long time. So we go and do crafts with the adults there, the residents there, and get to know them. We do a Christmas worship service typically each year, too. So we've had a long partnership with them. So that's a great place to plug in. And then our student ministry, and again, this is kind of like kids' ministry. This is an area where we don't just plug people in on the fly. We've got to get to know you a little bit before we put you in serving with our middle and high school students. But we do need some help along the way. We provide snacks every Sunday night for our students, so we have a schedule for that and ask for volunteers to bring that. So that's a way that you could plug in. You could even bring it with you Sunday morning and leave it, and those leaders will get it all set up and everything. So if you're interested in that, see me. If you're interested in student ministry in general, let me know, let one of our staff know, and we'll make sure that Lex gets your name and begins to talk with you and get to know you a little bit as he comes on board. Also, sometimes we need drivers for things, for events, when there are local events and we have lots of students showing up. So we need drivers to get them there. So if that's your gig, and if you don't mind a really, really loud car, particularly if you get the middle school girls, that can be kind of loud. But anyway, and then in the area of students too, is just our college ministry. And this is one of the areas where Lex is going to be investing some time and energy as part of his position. But right now our college team always needs more help staying connected with our college students through a way, writing them notes, encouraging them along the way when it's their birthday and exam times, putting together care packages and all of that good stuff. And then finally, the Lamb Center. We're there every month serving a meal on Saturdays. The Lamb Center is a day shelter. It's just right down the road, about 2 miles west of here. It's a day shelter for homeless people. So folks come there and they get a hot meal, usually breakfast and lunch. They have shower facilities, they have a laundry facility, and lots of other services that they offer. So we've partnered with the Lamb Center for a long, long time and have seen some really neat things happen through that ministry there, and are glad to be a part of it. So here's some things. These are some things that you can plug into if you're not already plugged into. Or maybe you are and you're thinking about doing something different or getting more involved in something. We just want to talk to you. So at each of the tables so where's the kids' table again? Back there? There we go. And properties table is back over this direction in the back. Hospitality, where are you? Right here up front. And there in the back, too. And then prayers over here. Wendy, raise your hand. And then reaching out. Where are you? Right in the middle. Charlotte will talk to you there. And then where is worship? Is it over here next to Susan? And then Braddock Glenn, senior adult. Where are you guys? Right there. Okay. Just stay right here. Carolyn Inman is the person to see there, and she'll be over that way. And then student ministry is in the back, but you can see me. I'm not sure if they'll have a rep, but you can talk to me about student ministry. And then the Lamb Center is right here. So if you're interested in any of those, we'd love to talk to you about them. I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're just going to have leaders at those tables for you to connect with. Also, if you can't hang around, you can fill out this form. You can check as many boxes as you want. Give us a name and a contact, and just leave it on the table or hand it to one of the people in the black Fairfax Circle Church t-shirts, and they'll get it to the right spot, and we'll talk to you about how God is leading you and how you might want to plug in. Let's go to God in prayer. God, I thank you for this church. I just thank you for the many things that you're allowing us to be a part of and you're calling us to do, and some of them are quite challenging, and we need more support. We need more leadership. And so we just thank you for how you're going to provide that. And I thank you for each one of us and how, as we've seen over the last 8 weeks, that you've created us so uniquely with the shape that you gave us. And you gave us those things, not just for ourselves, but also for your work and for others. And so help us to figure out how we can use the shape that you gave us to serve you by serving others, whether it's here with the 10% or whether it's the 90% serving others where we find ourselves at work and in our communities and in our schools and our neighborhoods. So we thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our song response.